In last Sunday's Old Testament reading, we heard about Adam and Eve's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. This reading was a reminder of the seriousness of the human condition, that we are all infected by a spiritual disease called sin, which has broken the creation and broken us and ultimately leads to death. But of course, the fall isn't the end of the story, only the beginning. We know that despite Adam and Eve's sinfulness and our sinfulness, God did not abandon his people, but rather put in place a plan to rescue us. A plan which is described throughout the course of the whole Bible and is ultimately fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we look at another link in the chain of the rescue plan from the Old Testament, the calling of Abram, later called Abraham, from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Central to today's reading are certain promises made by God to Abram. Abram is living with his father and brothers in Haran, an ancient city in modern-day Turkey. Seemingly out of nowhere, the Lord calls him. He tells Abram to leave Haran and go to a land the Lord will show him, the land of Canaan, today Israel. This is no small ask. The Lord is asking Abram to give up almost everything, to give up the land where his family had settled in exchange for a place that he's never actually seen, to leave his family and the safety of being with his own relatives for the insecurity of a nomadic existence with only his nephew Lot to keep him company. He's even to give up his certain inheritance in Haran for uncertain promises, to give up the gods of his people for a new unknown God. And yet the potential benefits are huge, aren't they? The Lord gives Abram a single command, go, but he gives him many promises. He promises that I will make you into a great nation, not just a small nomadic family, but into a country with its own land. I will make your name great. People all over the world will know who you are. I will not only bless you, but all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How? Through you, Abram, the curse brought about by Adam and Eve's sin will be reversed, and the blessing bestowed on them at creation will finally be fulfilled. And Abram's response to these promises was to go. He simply obeyed. He trusted in this God that he hardly knew, and God proved faithful to him. The wonderful thing about the promises God gave to Abram was that they're not only for Abram. Those promises are for all people. As I mentioned before, sometime later God changed Abram's name to Abraham, from a name meaning exalted father to father of many nations. And despite his advanced age and the age of his wife Sarah, they did have a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, who eventually, after leaving Egypt, took possession of the land that God had promised to Abraham. And there Israel became a great nation under the kings David and Solomon, a nation into which, despite ups and downs over the next millennia, our Lord Jesus Christ was born. Jesus, in whom ultimately God's promises are fulfilled. Promises not only to Abraham, but to the whole world. Promises to defeat Satan and defeat death and reverse the curse of sin, so that all people believing in him will not perish, but have eternal life, as we heard in that well-known passage from John 3:16. In Jesus, not only Jews, the direct descendants of Abraham, share in these promises. In Jesus, all peoples are blessed. Gentiles, non-Jews, like us as well. Through faith, you also are children of Abraham, and you receive the blessings God promised him, as Paul explained in Romans chapter 4, our epistle reading. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So, what blessings do you receive? Well, they're not identical to Abraham's blessings, but they are just as wonderful, perhaps even more so. Whereas Abraham was promised a physical land on earth, you are promised a better heavenly country, a city prepared for you by God himself. Abraham was promised that his descendants will become a great nation as numerous as the stars, whereas you in baptism have already joined a family made up of all nations on the earth and all generations, past, present and future. Abraham's name is great. In baptism you have received an even greater name though, the name of Father, Son and Holy Spirit as your new family name. Abraham became a blessing to all people through his descendant Jesus. You not only share in that blessing, but you can also be a blessing to others. You are essentially Jesus' hands and feet in the world, serving others in practical ways. And you also have the privilege of introducing them to the one who can bless them with the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Despite these distinctions, you receive the blessings in the same way as Abraham did. As Paul explained in Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God offered Abraham these promises freely as a gift. Abraham didn't work for them, nor did he earn them, but he simply received them in faith. His response to God's gift was to trust that God meant what he said. Abraham simply took God at his word. And it's interesting that Abraham wasn't even a particularly special guy. If you read his adventures in Genesis chapter 12 onwards, you might wonder sometimes why God actually chose him. Yet God did choose him, despite all of Abraham's flaws. And God was faithful to his promises. And in that respect, you are no different to Abraham. God's blessings of a heavenly home, of inclusion into his family, of forgiveness of sins and eternal life are given to you simply as gifts. You don't deserve them, neither do I. You can't earn them. You can simply receive them with thanks. And you can also receive them with confidence, because God has shown his faithfulness again and again. To Abraham, to his descendants, and most importantly in the life, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Given God's impeccable track record up until now, you can trust that God will continue to be faithful to you and keep his promises, whatever may come in the future. It struck me as I was preparing this sermon that the call of God to Abraham is particularly relevant to our community here at Pilgrim at the moment. Like Abraham, we are being called by God to go with his promises. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to get up and move to the land of Canaan across the seas to Israel, but we are, as a community, considering where God is calling us to go, both physically and metaphorically, in the future, once our partnership with the ADCC changes at the end of the year. is, as Pastor Stephen Schultz asked us a fortnight ago, God still calling us to be church here at McGill? Or is he perhaps calling us to go somewhere else? As much as you would probably like me to give you the answer to those questions, I can't. We as a community need to collectively discern where God is calling us to go or stay, and what form that ministry will take. What I can assure you of, though, is that God will bless those who are faithful to his calling. His promises to bless us are certain, underwritten by his faithfulness to Abraham. Although Abraham had no idea what awaited him in the promised land, and even though it was humanly impossible for him to become a father of many nations, it happened. It took faith and many years of patient waiting, and indeed some heartache when Abraham and Sarah tried to engineer their own solution to a lack of an heir. But it did finally happen. In the same way, we are called to trust that God knows best. We are called to trust that he has a plan for Pilgrim, even if we don't yet know what it is. We are called to be patient and not act precipitously, trusting that God will provide a solution in his own good time, not in our time. That doesn't mean, however, that we can just sit around twiddling our thumbs until God gives us direction. As per the report in last week's bulletin, we can be active in discerning God's will for Pilgrim for the future through dwelling in his word and through prayer. We also know that God wants us to go even as we wait. At our meeting with Pastor Schultz, he reminded us of Pilgrim's vision statement. If you don't know what it is and you have a bulletin, look at the front page. Our vision statement says, growing in Christ and bringing others to him for eternal life. Growing in Christ and bringing others to him for eternal life. Our own vision statement calls us to continue to grow in our relationship with God through our Lord Jesus, which then empowers us to invite others to develop a relationship with him too. Note also how the vision statement specifically says bringing others to him. As church, we are not called to sit around waiting for people to come to us, but we are called to go to them. We are called to bring the blessing promised to Abraham to the people around us by sharing with them God's promises. While we don't have the time to fully explore evangelism today, I remind you that we had a series of sermons and Bible studies a few years ago which focused specifically on growing and going. And I encourage you to revisit those resources if you still have them. And if you'd like Pastor Mark and myself to offer those sermons and studies again, then please let us know. Regardless of where God calls Pilgrim to stay or go in the future, it is worthwhile investing in our spiritual growth so that we can be his blessing to others, whatever the context, no matter where we are. Before we finish, there's one final aspect of God's promises that we need to be aware of. Although it's true that we cannot buy God's favour, there is a cost attached to going where he sends us. Sometimes, like Abraham, we need to leave something behind to gain what is promised ahead. It may be that God will ask Pilgrim to leave McGill and settle elsewhere. Even if he doesn't, like Abraham, all Christians must eventually leave an old land to receive a new one. In responding to God's promise of a heavenly home, Christians must let go of their earthly one. Like Abraham, we're really nomads. We're strangers and pilgrims on earth, as the liturgy tells us. The world is not our home. We're just passing through. And it's not always easy to be a pilgrim, is it? It means that we constantly wrestle to live in the world without becoming of it. We're always tempted, as we heard last week, to enjoy the immediate certain pleasures of this world rather than the promised blessings of the next world, which we don't yet fully possess. Like Abraham, we sometimes have to leave family and friends behind. Family and friends who don't share our faith and who refuse to make the journey with us. Like Abraham, we have to leave our gods behind. We need to let go of all the things that we love and trust for our security so that we can put our faith in the one true God. And that's partly what Lent is about. It's letting go of the things which get in the way of trusting God. But today's reading reassures us that it's all worth it in the end. The blessings you will receive far outweigh anything that you will leave behind. And even now you are starting to experience some of God's promised blessings. For example, in the privilege, and it is a privilege, of being called to be a blessing to others. Even as pilgrims on earth, you can experience joy and satisfaction of going with God's promises, of proclaiming the good news to others, who can then also share in Abraham's blessings because of Jesus. Amen. Let's conclude in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to Abraham and for promising him and through him all people blessings to counter the curses of the fall. Thank you that we have received those blessings too because of what Jesus has done for us. The blessings of a heavenly home, a place in your family, and the honour of your family name. Help us to trust in your promises and willingly give up the temporary pleasures of this life for the greater blessing of eternal life with you. Help us to grow and go so that we are a blessing to others, so that they might learn to trust in your promises and become children of Abraham too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.